Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Let me just say before I get into the message, we should have prayed for Jason, our youth pastor, and his son, who are on a missions convention in Ecuador. They left earlier this week, and we should have prayed for them on Sunday, but with everything going on, it completely slipped my mind. They have been ministering with the Northern Missouri District youth. I guess there's about 20 or 25 of them that are in Ecuador, and they're doing a missions trip there, and I think that's just wonderful. Could we just take a moment? They've got about 3 or 4 days left, so let's pray for Jason and his son Jonah. Father, we thank you for Jason, for his youth ministry here, for what you're doing in and through it. I pray that you protect him and Jonah for the remainder of this missions trip. God, bless them and anoint them and give them wonderful stories of your grace and your power to change lives in Ecuador. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, and you should, turn with me to John's Gospel, the Gospel of John. Chapter 20, in a minute we're going to read verses 30 and 31 as our scripture text today. Today I begin a new series called Believe. Believe. And the aim of which is to take a deep dive into John's gospel and discover his unique perspective on faith and what it means to believe in Jesus. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks. Now, I believe 100% that our culture is hijacking and redefining Christianity. I believe that with all my heart. We seem to be lost in this concept of social identity, which means that everything in culture today revolves around how we subjectively identify ourselves and how we demand that others perceive us. Right? One New York University website says, and I quote, examples of social identity include race, ethnicity, gender, sex, socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, age, religion or religious beliefs, national origin, and emotional developmental disabilities and abilities, unquote. These days, people like to self-identify, and they are coming up with ways to force it on us, They ask us to use their personal pronouns that when talking about religion, they will self-identify as Muslim or atheist or Christian. Our culture is under the delusion that to simply self-identify makes it so. Let me say that again. Our culture is under the delusion that to simply self-identify makes it so. And people in our culture are self-identifying as many different crazy things. Part of what this series is going to attempt to do is to qualify what it truly and biblically means to be a Christian. And I'll just say at the top of this message, it's more than just self-identifying as a Christian. Being a true Christian is more than just self-identifying as a Christian. More specifically, we're going to look in this series at what Jesus in the Gospel of John identifies as children of God. There's a difference between calling yourself a Christian and actually being a child of God. How many of you know that? Can I see your hands? You know that. Okay. Before the end of this message today, I'm going to give you a modern-day illustration of what I'm talking about. Recently, two celebrities died. Actually, more than that, but I'm going to focus on two. Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan. How many of you heard that? Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan died. Both of these men self-identified as Christian. And we're going to examine their testimonies. We're going to hear some quotes directly from them and see how their Christianity lines up with Scripture. We're going to do that at the end. Just a little bit of a clickbait there, just a little teaser for what's coming at the end, so don't leave early. Will you stand with me and let's read our text today, John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31, 30 and 31. I would stand with you today, but it took me such energy and such squiggling to get up here. If I get down, I'll never get back up. So, John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. Thank you for standing in honor of the word. Scripture says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let me read that last phrase again. It's crucial and the crux of this whole series. That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for John's gospel. Thank you for inspiring John to write this gospel and include many stories and sayings of you that the other gospel writers do not have. I pray that as we, over the next few weeks, take a deep dive into what it means to believe, what it really means to believe, that you will encourage our faith and you will correct our behavior and our beliefs. Inspire us from your word. It's your word that we want to hear. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of today's message, John Defines Faith. Okay. The series is Believe. The message is titled, John Defines Faith. Now, since today's message is an introduction to the series, which will serve as a foundation for our study that will encompass the whole gospel of John. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the whole gospel, parts and scriptures from the whole thing. We're going to talk about what John's gospel says and teaches about believing or faith. And since this series covers that whole gospel, let me just give you some context to the book of John. Normally, I give you context to the scripture verse, the text we're going to study, but let me give you some context to the whole book, some things you need to know to interpret it correctly and apply it to your life, okay? So let's look at, I guess there's four of them here, four things about the context of the gospel of John. Number one, first, John was the last of the living apostles of Jesus. He was the last survivor. Despite the fact that Caesar tried to boil him in oil, he survived. And then Caesar decided, I can't kill this guy, so he exiled him to Patmos. And then when Caesar died, Domitian died, he got out of exile on Patmos and went back to Ephesus and lived out his life, a very long life. His gospel was written, scholarship says, between the year 90 and 100 AD. Between the year 90 and 100 AD, John lived to a ripe old age. And his gospel was the last, that's the second thing I want to talk about, was the last, his gospel was written last. And most of John's gospel is not found in the synoptics. The synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give us a synopsis of the whole life of Jesus. John doesn't do that. In fact, there's no real birth narrative in the gospel of John. So it doesn't give us kind of a synopsis. It's more of a selected representation of the life of Jesus. So the first three gospels are the synoptic gospels. John's gospel is kind of a standalone gospel, okay? Now, the fact that there's 90% of what's in the gospel of John is not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, that's not a bad thing. There are a lot of scholars who want to attack the Bible who say that's a bad thing. It's just terrible. It's not. It's really a good thing, because since John was the last living apostle, his was the last gospel written, he could include things in his gospel that the other writers, for whatever reason, didn't include in theirs. And that gives us a fully orbed, fully understood life of Jesus Christ, okay? The third thing you need to understand about the context of the Gospel of John is that the major theme, and this is really important, this is what we're going to focus on for the next couple of weeks, the major theme of John, the Gospel of John, is, quote, believing in Jesus, okay? That's the major theme of this gospel, believing in Jesus. In fact, our text you could call the theme verse of the Gospel of John. Our text, John chapter 20, verse 30, talks about this, believing in Jesus. And John uses this phrase, believing in, two-word phrase, believing in. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. 23 times in the Gospel of John, 23 times he talks about this. So that's obviously the theme, the major theme of this gospel. And then finally, and this is important for our discussion today, John never uses the noun word for faith. Not once in the original language does the word faith, the noun word for faith, John does not use it at all. And that word is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. He never uses that word once, but he always uses the verb word for faith, which is pistuo. I pronounced that right. I practiced that a dozen times yesterday. Pistuo, I have a little program. You click on the word, it pronounces it for you. So that's different. And I'm going to tell you the importance of this in just a few minutes, but you need to understand, John talks about belief, and he talks about belief rather than quote-unquote faith, the verb rather than the noun. So just understand here that John's understanding and teaching of faith is more nuanced than the other New Testament writers. Paul talks about faith all the time, the noun. He uses the noun all the time. John never once uses the noun. He always uses the verb, okay? So John's understanding and teaching of faith is more nuanced than the other New Testament writers. It's not different, okay? It's not different. It's nuanced, and that's different than different, okay? So today I want to ask four questions, the answers to which define John's faith. Title of the message, John Defines Faith. So we're going to see over the next few weeks how John, some of the aspects of how John defines faith. But today we're going to introduce the topic by answering four questions. Number one, first question, we need to understand, what is the difference between faith and believing? Okay? What is the difference between faith, the noun, and believing, the verb? And this is where I want to define John's nuance, okay? There are two Greek words for faith. As I said, they are the word pistis and pistuo, okay? Pistis and pistuo, okay? Let's define them, okay? The word pistis in the Greek is translated faith. And it's the noun form. It's the name. It's the identification. It refers to what faith is. And I want to tell you something. Never once in the whole Gospel of John, in the original language, now there are some translations that sometimes use the word faith, but in the original language, it's never, not even once, pistis. It's always pistuo, okay? All right? So the noun, the name identification, is what it is. Now, he uses the word pistuo, which translates to believing, okay? Believing. What it does, pistis is the noun, pistuo is the verb. How many of you went to school and learned the difference between a noun and a verb? How many of you completely forgot what the difference between a noun and a verb is? I had to go and do a refresher course myself as I was studying for this message, the difference between a noun and a verb. See, understand this. The difference between faith and believing, pistis and pistuo, it's the same. You can see it. It's the same root word, right? Same root word. One is the noun and one is the verb, okay? So where faith, pistis or faith is what it is, pistuo or believing is what it does. It's an action verb, okay? So a noun is a name and a verb is what the noun does, okay? It's the action part. Same root word, different function. John's exclusive focus in his gospel, and by the way, in his epistles, but we're not going to touch on that, his exclusive focus is the action of faith. This is what's unique about John and his study about faith. He talks exclusively about the action of faith. So instead of using the word faith, he uses the word, we translate, believing or belief. And I love how the great Charles Spurgeon defined, he was the prince of preachers, the very first televangelist that there ever was back in the 1800s. And Charles Spurgeon defined believing this way. He said, and I quote, "Look at any Greek lexicon you like, and you will find that the word faith or believe does not merely mean to believe, but to trust, to confide in, to commit to, entrust with, and so forth." And I like this. "The very marrow of the meaning of faith is confidence in, reliance upon." Okay? So here's the first place where we part with our cultural idea of self-identification. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. A lot of people self-identify. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Okay? Believing in God is, there's so much more to faith. There's so much more to the faith that makes you a Christian than just believing in God. And I think Spurgeon does a great job of identifying that for us. Commit to, entrust to, trust with, confide in. The marrow of the meaning of faith is confidence in, reliance upon. Believing is reliance upon. I love that. Second thing we want to talk about when we talk about the difference between faith and believing is that John never uses the word faith. He only uses believe. That's in the original language. Never uses faith, he uses believe. And he uses it. Anyone want to guess how many times he uses it in his gospel? 89 times. 89 times. I read every one of them this last week. 89 times. He never uses the word faith, he only uses belief. So John's concept of faith involves action. Isn't that great? Now let me ask you why. Let me tell you why. John never uses the word faith, he only uses belief. Why? Because John believed that faith is more than what you have. Faith is what you do. Okay? Why does he never use faith, he only uses belief? Because John believed that faith is more than what you have. Faith is what you do. Faith, according to John, was active and is active. Very, very active. In fact, if John spoke English or wrote in English, he would put an ing at the end of every faith word. Ing, constantly happening. Like John would say, faith is acting, faith is moving, faith is pursuing, faith is continually working. It's active. Faith is active. Okay? That's John's concept of faith. Let me give you another quote that helps us to understand this. Edwin Blum, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, describes why John calls it believing instead of faith this way. He says, and I quote, "Apparently John wanted to stress an active, continuous, and vital trust in Jesus." An active, continuous, and a vital trust in Jesus. Now, that's more than just self-identifying, right? That's more than just simple, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. That's way more than that. Okay, so that's the first question. What's the difference between faith and believing? Now let's go on to question two. What is believing? Okay, we've known, we heard the difference. Now tell me, what is believing? And there's one verse in John that best describes believing. Okay? Best describes this Greek word, pistuo. It is John chapter 1, verse 12. Let me read it, and then we're going to pick it apart a little bit. John chapter 1, verse 12, which says, all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Listen to me. Let me write this in a modern vernacular. Let me rewrite this. Let me translate this, paraphrase this in a modern vernacular. All who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God as opposed to self-identifying as Christians. Right? He gave the right to become children of God as opposed to self-identifying as Christians. The great theologian Robert Mounts in the Expositor's Biblical Commentary helps us here. It's a great quote. You might want to write this down or take a picture. This is awesome. He helps us to understand this. First of all, let me say that receiving is believing. Okay? What is believing? Number one, John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 12, receiving is believing. Sorry, I got ahead of myself a little bit there. Look at what he says. All who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. I would rather be a child of God than a self-identifying Christian. That's what I'm saying here. Okay, gives the right to become a child of God. So receiving is believing. The great theologian Robert Mounts in the Expositor's Bible Commentary helps us here. He writes, it's a long quote, but it's good. To all those who did receive him, he gave the right, the authority, that's what the word right in the original language means, the authority to become children of God. People are not by nature God's children. They become his children by receiving Jesus Christ. God's attitude toward all humanity is that of a father, but unless they receive his son, they cannot become his children. You cannot become a child of God unless you receive his son. I love that. Now, John adds another layer to this understanding of what believing is. He not only tells us that receiving is believing, but then he dumps this on top of it. Believing in his name is receiving. So in a sense, he's saying receiving is believing, and believing is receiving. That's really what he's saying. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, received him, okay? So receiving is believing, and believing in his name is receiving. Again, let me quote Mounts. He's a great theologian here. He helps bring some clarity to this from the Expositor Bible Commentary. Those who receive him are further identified as those who believe in his name. Okay, are you with me? How many of you are with me? How many of you are just bored, so silly, you can't wait for this to be over? Come on, say it loud. Say it. All right. Those who received him are further identified as those who believe in his name. Here we see the customary use of the verb pistuo, right? That's the verb that John uses throughout the gospel, followed by the word ice. Ice, ice, baby. You can think of it that way. Pistuo, ice, ice, baby. All right. The younger generation has no clue what I just sang. Right? Gen X, they're gone. Millennials, what? Is he making something up? Okay. So there, it's a construction. This is really important. It's a construction that appears 36 times in John. Pistuo eis, okay? To believe is to place one's faith into, that means ice, faith, to believe in. Another person, faith for John is a definitive action. I love that. To believe in the name of Jesus is to accept all that his name declares him to be. I know a lot of self-identifying Christians that don't accept all of what his, his name claims to be. They pick and choose what to believe. I'm a Christian, but I don't necessarily believe this. I don't necessarily believe in the resurrection. I don't like all that Jesus dying on the cross stuff, but I do believe in God, so I'm a Christian. No. To believe in the name of Jesus is to accept all that his name declares him to be. Okay? So what's in a name? What's in a name? One of, if not my favorite theologians of all time, is the late F.F. Bruce. I wish I had an opportunity to know him in Senator's teaching. He was a Scottish theologian. I would love to hear him teach the Bible with his Scottish accent. In his commentary, he casts further light on this concept of what's in a name. He writes, and I quote, "To enter God's family, one must receive his word. In other terms, one must believe in his name. The name is much more than the designation by which a person is known. It means the real character. To receive him, who is the Word of God, then, means to place one's faith in him, to yield one's allegiance to him, and thus, in the most practical manner, to acknowledge his claims." Whoa. So there's much more to believing than simple faith. So John says, believing is receiving him and believing fully in his name. You could say that we receive him by believing in his name, all right? So let me just say this for all of us who believe in the power of prayer, and we all should believe in the power of prayer. Let me leave this question with this point. You cannot pray in the authority of Jesus' name until you fully believe in Jesus' name. We pray for healing. We pray for salvation. We pray for deliverance. We pray for wisdom. We pray for provision in the name of Jesus. You cannot pray in the authority of Jesus' name until you fully believe in Jesus' name. Question number three. How does believing happen? How does believing happen? And I want to touch on four ways from John that believing happens. Four ways in the Gospel of John that believing happens. Number one, belief is planted by the witness of others. John shows us in the woman at the well, Jesus' interaction and encounter with the woman at the well in John 4, that belief is planted by the witness of others. Look at John 4:39. Many of the Samaritans from that town, the town that the woman at the well was from, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Listen to me. This is very important. Look at me for a second. I want you to understand this. It's our job to plant the seeds of faith. It's our job to be a witness and a testimony of what God has done in our lives, just like the woman at the well, so that faith can be planted in other people. If we don't plant seeds of faith, faith is not going to be conceived. It's not going to grow. People need to hear. Paul puts it this way. How do they hear unless someone preaches? And how can someone preach unless they're sent? And how can somebody be sent until they're called? We're called. All right? So let me ask you a question. Are you planting belief by witness of your testimony, by the witness of your testimony? Are you planting seeds that will turn into faith by the witness of your testimony? Secondly, how does belief happen? How does believing happen? Secondly, belief begins, okay? So belief is planted by the witness of others. But number two, belief begins when we see the miraculous work of Jesus. How many of you let's be a witness to this right now. We might plant seeds that will grow into faith. And somebody said, how many of you have witnessed a miracle in your life? Let me see. A miracle of Jesus. You've seen somebody heal. You've seen a miracle, absolute miracle. I know one of our elders this last week, absolute miracle. If I could just tell the story quickly. He went out to grill something, turned on the grill, and it literally blew up. Lit on fire. His wife saw it driving down the street. He said in our elders' meeting on Wednesday, this is our Vice President Frank Armato, he said, it's only God. A little burn on his hand. It's only God. I wasn't completely burned up in the fire. A miracle. We've seen time and time again God do miracles. We have testimonies, and we should broadcast them loud and loud, God. And so what happens is that belief begins when we see the miraculous work of Jesus. Let's look at the scripture, John 2:11. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee, what did he do? He turned the water into wine. Okay, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. Look at this, and his disciples believed in him. Faith began for his disciples as they saw him perform a miracle. That's interesting. They began to believe when they saw the sign. Let me give you another scripture, John chapter 2, verse 23. Look at this. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs that he was performing and believed in his name. They saw the miracles and they believed. Faith was born in their life. It began in their life. Seeds were planted by the witness of others, but belief begins when we see the miraculous work of Jesus. Now, again, hopefully you've heard and seen the miracles of Jesus, how he's healed bodies and saved lost lives. Believing begins by witnessing miracles. But let me give you a warning, a disclaimer here. Here's a warning. That's where believing starts. But your believing must not rest on the miraculous work of Jesus alone. We're gonna look at this in future weeks, but I just want to say right off the bat, Jesus rebukes those who demand signs. Okay, the Jews and the religious leaders, the skeptics of his day, said to him, "Show us a sign." And what did Jesus say? In the Gospel of John, you're not getting a sign. I'm not some kind of trained monkey that can just perform for you. And I know some people who have prayed to God, they have belief and they've seen him work miracles in other people, but when they prayed, God didn't do the same miracle for them, and guess what? They stopped believing. Why? Because their faith rested only on the belief in God's miraculous power for them. So, warning, belief begins and starts by seeing the miraculous work of Jesus, but your believing must not rest on the miraculous work of Jesus. More about this in future sermons. Number three, the third way that believing happens. Three, belief grows when we hear and trust the words of Jesus. So belief is planted by the witness of others. Belief begins when we see the miraculous work of Jesus, and belief grows when we hear and trust the words of Jesus. Look at John 8:30. This is as clear and concise as it can get. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. He actually didn't have to do anything for faith to arise in their heart. As he spoke, many believe in him. See, belief grows when we hear and trust the words of Jesus. I cannot overstress the importance of reading the Bible and especially the Gospels. I cannot overstress the importance of you. I've heard people say, "I don't read the Bible, Pastor. I just wait till I come to church, and I know you're going to read the Bible." You should have a daily Bible reading discipline and focus a lot on the Gospels. Those are the words of Jesus. They contain the words of Jesus. They are the words of Jesus. So belief grows when we hear and trust the words of Jesus. And number four, how does believing happen? Belief matures as we listen to and obey the voice of Jesus. Now you say, "Well, Pastor Barry, isn't that the same as number three?" No, it's not. I'm going to show you why. Belief grows when we hear and trust the words of Jesus. Belief matures as we listen to and obey the voice of Jesus. I want to propose to you this morning that there's a difference between hearing the words of Jesus and listening to the words of Jesus. Let's read the scripture first. John chapter 10, verse 24 through 28. Long scripture put on its own slide here. The Jews, listen to this. This is really important. Jesus is saying something important here. The Jews who were there gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe." You want to know what word that is in the original language? Pistuo. You did not believe. "The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I know them. They follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. That's interesting, right? See, it's one thing to hear the words of Jesus. It's quite another to listen. Hearing is cognitive, it's mental. When we read the Bible, we hear. That's what happens in it. We give mental assent to the Word of God. But listening is active, it's willful. Sometimes I ask my wife the same question like 12 times. For instance, what are we having for supper? She'll say, "We're having spaghetti." "Oh, great." 5 minutes later, "I forgot. What are we having for supper?" "I told you we're having spaghetti." "Oh, great." After the 12th time, she says to me, "Not going to tell you again. Didn't you hear me?" Sometimes I have to confess, I heard you, but I didn't listen. I didn't listen. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to listen. So faith grows when we hear and trust the words of Jesus, but it matures when we listen to and obey. That's what it means to listen to. We obey. We move in response to it. It takes root in our mind, okay? So, last question, very quickly, here we go. Question number 4, what happens when we believe? Okay, John tells us how belief happens, but what happens when we believe? And this is some practical stuff here. I want to answer this question in 3 parts, and then we'll conclude. When we believe, we receive eternal life. Now, it's not just simply to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I think we've established that, right? Am I right? Will you nod so I don't have to start over? Okay. When we believe, we receive eternal life. John 6:40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him, pistuo eis, believes in him, shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." And let me tell you something, when you truly and honestly and fully, to the full extent of the word, believe in Jesus, salvation happens instantaneously. Instantly. You have eternal life. It's like, remember the thief on the cross? Jesus is hanging there, and there's 2 thieves standing, hanging next to him. And the one thief cursed Jesus. The other thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus ascertained that he fully believed in that moment, and he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Instantaneously saved. I wish sanctification worked the same way. It doesn't. Salvation is instantaneous. You can't do it all. You just respond to God in faith, believing in him, fully put your trust, lean on him, trust in him, fully believe, not just believe he exists, but fully believe on him, and you're instantly saved. And then you begin the lifelong process of becoming like him. All right? Got it? Two, second part, when we believe, we receive, quote, life in the Spirit. I love this part. When we believe, we receive life in the Spirit. So we receive eternal life, but we also receive life in the Spirit. Look at what John chapter 6, verse 63 and 64 says. The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. So what's more important, the flesh or the Spirit? The Spirit. The flesh counts for nothing. Look at this. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Now look at, here's where it gets difficult. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Let me read that again. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life, yet there are some of you who do not believe. In other words, when you believe, you receive the Spirit and true life. If you don't, you know, he's like, I'm offering you the Spirit and true life, and yet some of you don't believe. In our text, it says, look at this, verse 31 of John 20. It says, but these are written that you may believe. Again, this is the theme verse for the whole Gospel of John. These are written that you might believe. These are written that you believe. Language scholars, listen to me, language scholars have debated this passage for years, decades. What does it mean? There's different forms of the verb here, believe. Different forms of the verb here. What does it mean? And finally, most scholars have decided that this phrase means two things. The phrase, that you may believe, means two things. Number one, that you may come to believe. In other words, if you don't believe and you read the Gospel of John, they're written that you can come to believe. But also, the second definition is included in the meaning of this phrase, that you may grow in your belief. So we have two types of people here this morning, and those joining us via our online campus, two types of people. We have those who have yet to believe, and those who have believed. Those who have yet to believe need, I plead with you, please come to believe. And those who believe, please, I beg of you, grow in your belief. Grow in your belief. Your belief needs to grow. Well, there's a lot of people. They say this to me. Well, I was baptized. I'm good. I made my profession of faith. I'm good. That's all I need. I'm a Christian. No, you got to grow. You got to grow in your belief. So, in fact, the Gospel of John was written for both believers to grow in faith and the unbelievers to come to faith. Isn't that good? That's cool. Third part of this. This is the last part I'm going to talk about this morning. Third part of this question, what happens when we believe, is this idea that if we don't believe, we condemn ourselves. This is a dark side of belief. If we don't believe, we condemn ourselves. John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Many people ask the question, why would a good God throw someone in hell? My response is this. The fact is, he doesn't. A good God doesn't throw people in hell. They throw themselves in hell by choosing to not believe. Whoever does not believe, that scripture says, condemns themselves, stands condemned because they've not believed. See, now listen to me. Hear me close. The choice to send someone to hell is not really God's. It's ours. God doesn't throw people in hell. They throw themselves there by not believing. God offers everything we need to go to heaven. He doesn't demand it from us. He will never force us to do it. We can either believe or not believe. If we don't, we make the choice. God doesn't choose, we choose. John chapter 3, verse 17, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's important. But to save the world through him. We condemn ourselves. Now, let's conclude. I'm going to have the musicians come. At the beginning of this message today, I told you we would compare the lives of the recently deceased Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan. May they rest in peace. Both of these men self-identified as Christian. Now, God is the only judge of the heart. I'm not saying we judge that person. God judges the heart, but the Bible does say by their fruit, right? We'll know them. Okay? God's the only judge of the heart. We judge the fruit. So based on what we've learned today about believing and about being a Christian, let's listen to some direct quotes from both of these professing Christians and see who best lines up with John's definition of faith and believing. I did some research. Let's first look at Ozzy Osbourne, who said in many interviews, "I'm a Christian. I was christened as a Christian. I used to go to Sunday school." In another interview, he said, "The funny thing is, I'm actually quite interested in the Bible, and I've tried to read it several times, but I only ever got as far as the bit about Moses being 720 years old. What were these people smoking back then?" In a different interview, he said, "If there is a God, it's nature. If there's a devil, it's nature." Finally, in one of the last interviews, he said, "I don't read the Bible, not because I don't want to. I just haven't got around to it yet. One day, perhaps, I'll pick it up and look at it." It's too late. So listen to those words. Is that true believing? And now let's listen to the words of Hulk Hogan, several interviews he's given over the years. By the way, both of these people are obviously not perfect people. Hulk Hogan said in an interview, "I was saved when I was 14. I accepted Christ as my Savior. He died on the cross and paid for my sins." Concerning his baptism in December of 2023, he said, and I quote, "Total surrender and dedication to Jesus is the greatest day of my life. No worries, no hate, no judgment, only love." When everything hit the fan, in a different interview, he said, "When everything hit the fan, the divorce, the lawsuits, my son's accident, I fell back on my faith. Jesus was there." And last, "I found peace when I started reading the Bible every day." Now, let me ask you again. Only God can judge the heart, but we can listen to their confession and see that one of these, though imperfect, seems to better line up with what John says that believing is. Right? Right? Now, I'd ask you this morning to examine your own life. It's more than self-identification. Believing is more than self-identification. I hope you got that from John today. Again, John was written that some may come to believe and that some may grow in their belief. Which one are you? Do you need to come to believe today? Or do you need to grow in your belief today? Believing is more than self-identifying as Christian. Let's stand for closing prayer. I'll ask our prayer partners to come. Now, I'd encourage you today after we pray, if you need prayer for anything, please come. We're happy to pray with you and for you today. But especially those of you who need to come to faith today. Father God, we praise you because when we received Jesus, we believed in everything his name stands for. We obtained the privilege to become children of God, and that by believing, we have life in his name. Today, may the seeds of believing be planted in us as we see your power in the miraculous. May we hear and listen to the words of Jesus and grow in our believing. Let the Spirit of God bring us life everlasting. And we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come for prayer today. God bless you.
I love you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing his kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's word.